Liron Hirschkorn here, your host of the E-Commerce Mindset Podcast. I just had a great conversation with Aaron Foreman, who built two e-commerce brands, one on Amazon, mostly on Amazon, one all off Amazon. Together, they're doing eight figures in business. One is a private label business. One is a wholesale business. We'll be talking about Amazon, Shopify, team building, how he got into the niche that he's in. And there's definitely a lot of golden nuggets in the conversation I just had with him. So I think you'll want to listen in. Aaron is a seller, doesn't have anything to sell, just wanted to come on and share. And the podcast, as always, is sponsored by incrementumdigital.com. We help you grow your brand on Amazon using Amazon advertising, DSP. We help optimize your listings. We're doing things like premium A plus content, storefronts, and optimizing your listings. You can check out incrementumdigital.com. Also, if you go to course.incrementumdigital.com, we have an Amazon advertising course. It's going to close very soon. Check out the site course.incrementumdigital.com. And also check out 8Fig. 8Fig.co is your best source for growth capital. You can go to 8Fig.co to learn more. It's flexible and one of the best sources for growth capital for your business because of the way it works. It saves you money on interest and it's very flexible and grows with you. You can check out 8Fig.co. Enjoy this podcast interview with Aaron. Okay, so we have with us on the podcast Aaron Foreman. Aaron is the CEO of Snuggle, also the CEO of Sleeplay.com, two sites that combine, two businesses that combine, do eight figures in business on e-commerce. I think you'll want to hear about this because it's very interesting. One of these businesses is majority on Amazon, the other businesses only on Shopify. And so you have a pretty good experience between both Amazon and Shopify. So love to talk about that. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Liron. It's a pleasure having, you know, this podcast with you. Huge fan. I really appreciate, you know, the help that you have provided, you know, throughout the your podcast. You know, I'm a huge fan of the podcast that you do, and I actually, you know, take up, you know, a lot of the advice that you give. We actually had some listings that were taken down on the Snuggle, and we actually contacted the Riverbend.
Riverbend Consulting.
Yeah, and you know, they're helping us very well on getting those issues fixed as well.
Awesome, great. Well, yeah, tell us a little bit about when and how you got involved in e-commerce and selling on Amazon.
Yeah, so I was working on corporate America on an airline and in revenue management. And on the meantime, my family immigrated. That was around 2016. You were starting to hear a little bit about FBA. In that moment, my family immigrated to the U.S. and in order to get the visa, they had to take over a business, and they decided to take over into a business of medical equipment, of DME, which is durable medical equipment. While I was working in the airline, I also helped them a little bit, you know, with the purchase orders and the POs, you know, looking into the inventory. And while doing that, I got very good relationship with vendors in the area, in particular of Sleep Partner. And it was, you know, like I mentioned, 2016, you know, you would listen that yeah, it was booming and that you didn't need like a warehouse to operate. So I actually, you know, started on the side like a wholesale business where I would first talk to the vendors and say, you know, hey, can I list these products into Amazon? Or maybe the product was already listed in Amazon. And they would, you know, some would say no, some would say yes. And then I remember, you know, going on the weekends, you know, packing making like a $2,000 order to start the business, packing everything, and just shipping it to Amazon. And then, you know, I would see that in the week, the product was already sold. And, you know, it was, I would just, you know, like repeat the same steps, but duplicate the order. And that's really how the wholesale business started.
Got it. So you started with wholesale, and I guess at some point you learned about like the private label side of the business?
Correct. Yeah. So 2016 and 2019 were very good years to do wholesale in Amazon. But it's nowadays it's very different, like very difficult, because with wholesalers, you're not adding value into anything, right? You're just, you know, going into the listing and competing into the buy box with different sellers. Don't get me wrong, if you have, you know, good relationship with vendors and you know your numbers well, and if you use, you know, tools like Helium 10 and Jungle Scout to see the search volume, then, you know, you can actually make a good business out of it. But there was a lot of uncertainty in the business, because we would, you know, buy a product, analyzing that the price would be, say, an X number, let's say $30, right? And I would buy the merchandise at 20 after the FBA fees, you know, the referral fee, the listing fee, the shipping, I would get like a net profit of, I don't know, 20%. And then after we got the product, which was two weeks later, the sellers would, you know, slash the prices, and instead of 30 would be 26. So, you know, it's very difficult to do business that way.
Yeah, we also experienced another experience with a vendor where we actually had a contract with them to buy products for Amazon. We have likely exclusivity.
And he made us, you know, buy around 70,000 worth of stock of inventory. And after 2 months of selling the item, he told us, you know, that they were going to take charge of Amazon, and we were stuck with the inventory. So, you know, it was pretty ugly. And, you know, that was where, you know, I already had the experience in Amazon, and was doing advertisement. And that's where I talked with my partner, Maxine, to found Snuggle. We already knew, you know, what were the best sellers in sleep apnea in Amazon. We use, you know, tools like Helium 10 to see to what parts to start with. And that's, you know, how the private label business started.
Right. So in a sense, the wholesale experience gave you sort of knowledge about the niche and what was selling, and gave you some of the learnings of how to sell on Amazon.
Correct.
Right. I mean, if you were advising somebody today, would you tell them to go straight into private label, or would you tell them, you know, the way I started was good. We started with, you know, wholesale, and then we got into private label and we learned the niche? Or would you say skip wholesale?
I mean, it depends really on who you are and your relationship, and if you have, you know, contacts with vendors and deals. I don't want to say that wholesale is 100% bad. I agree that, you know, if you have the good relationship with vendors, but you just got to be careful, you know, on how much inventory you're buying, and be very cautious, because it's hard, you know, because there's going to be more people in the listing. I wouldn't advise to compete with Amazon.com in listings, 100%.
Right.
You know, just be very cautious for net profit. But if you do, you know, it's a business that, how I look at it is that you have to have the wholesale business can help you fund the private label business, right? Because the private label business, it's an entirely different model. I think it's a level up than wholesale, because at the private label, you're creating a brand, you're creating a name, you're investing in your products, you're building reviews, you're building new products, new retail packaging, and it's another level. You know, it's another level. It involves, you know, serious advertisement, which we use tools like Perpetua, you can change the game by doing A-plus content. You really need to focus on having a very good title, a very good bullet points, because if not, it doesn't matter how much advertising you do, it's not gonna work. Another thing that we also do when we start new products and private label is that we use Bind as mm-hmm. soon as we hit the product into FBA. But you know, if I had to decide, I would recommend obviously a private label.
But again, it's a much harder business, right? It's a much harder business than to just do wholesale.
Right. And probably also depends on what your capital situation looks like, right? If you're very, very low capital, it might be difficult to do private label, but you know, you might be able to do to start out with some like even arbitrage, you know, retail or online arbitrage and or wholesale, and then kind of build up capital so that you could do private label. Now you still decided to kind of continue on the sort of wholesale or distributor side. You decided to launch a separate website that was just sort of like a wholesale site, right? For the CPAP niche called Sleep Play, one P or Sleep Lay, depending on how you want to say it, which seems like it was turned out to be a kind of a brilliant idea. That business does close to 8 figures a year on its own. How did you have the ability to kind of launch this sort of, you know, site with different brands and then succeed on, you know, sort of like Shopify, where previously you were doing just Amazon?
Yeah, I think I'm very fortunate to, I had, you know, the, you know, I think if it wasn't for American Home Care, which is the company that my family got into, which is a DME, and they deal, you know, primarily with insurances, I wouldn't have the context to build SleepPlay. And I really, you know, thank them for that. And also the, you know, the learning experience
From 2016 to 2020, e-commerce, you know, helped me understand a little bit how this market could be in e-commerce. I think dealing, you know, having a relationship with vendors, it's key, it's crucial in the wholesale business. And you know, if you're doing a Shopify, I would recommend focusing on high ticket items, because it's not like Amazon, right? On Amazon, the average order value is gonna be around $30 versus Shopify. You wanna have at least like a 200, you know, 150 to 300 range average order value, because it's just, you know, so expensive to build a site. You need to make sure that it's optimized for website speed, have good SEO. And then you need to, you know, focus on SMS marketing, email marketing, Google ads, Facebook ads. And it's not as consistent as Amazon, whereas Amazon, you know, you have, you know, the sales, and as long as you keep inventory,
right,
it's also going to increase. You always need to make sure that you don't run out of stock in Amazon, because then it's, you know, hard to you know, the ratings drop for the listing. On Shopify, it's less consistent. You know, one day when you start, you can have more sales than the other, not that much when you start. So, you know, you need to make sure to have a big ticket item, you know, so in the end, at the end of the month, you have like a good gross profit margins.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. Did you immediately outsource all these traffic sources from Google ads, Facebook ads? Did you try doing it yourself? Like, how did you develop profitable traffic? I know it's very challenging, especially for Amazon sellers who their focus and understanding is, you know, Amazon listings, algorithm, launches, and then there's so much to know on the Amazon side.
Yeah.
Now you need to be able to you know, get profitable traffic. And also it's gotten harder, right, with Facebook over time, especially with Apple iOS changes. How did you approach driving traffic to, you know, Shopify store?
I think I was very fortunate when we launched Sleeply, because it was 2020, COVID hit, and there were most of the machines were out of stock, but we were getting most of them. And you know, the price of the machine, because they weren't as many, it increased. But anyways, you know, we started, you know, it really depends if your business is, you know, funded with your own money, or if you're, you know, getting some capital from investors. And then it's just like a different playground. Our business was, you know, we didn't have any money from investors. It's like our own business.
Right.
So we needed to make sure that we do reports on a weekly basis, KPI, to understand how we're doing with sales, how much we're spending in Facebook, how much we're spending in Google.
We focused primarily on Facebook on retargeting campaigns, which were the ones, you know, that capture the first party data
in your site, and then you would retarget the campaigns in Facebook. And on Google, at the time we were using Google Shopping, that was working great.
So you were driving traffic, Google Shopping to the website, and then retargeting that traffic on Facebook.
Correct. And then we really, you know, hit this point when doing email marketing and SMS marketing. And we would put exclusive deals for people that to subscribe to our website. And that's the real main difference, I think, between Shopify and Amazon, which I think it's huge, that in Shopify, the customer is yours.
In Amazon, you don't have the customer. So what I mean is that when you
have a brand in Amazon and the customer purchase, you don't have the customer information, you don't have their email, you cannot do SMS marketing with that customer. On Shopify, you do have all his information,
which you can then retarget on Facebook or do email marketing or SMS. It's actually, we use Postscripts, which is using it's working very well. And you can do, it's another marketing game, right? It's another marketing game compared to Amazon.
Right. And in the niche around like CPAP, there are things you need to buy on an ongoing basis, right? To maintain the product, right? So you have that potential sort of accessory repeat purchase, right? Like the certain things that you need to replace over time, right?
Yeah, that's a great point. And you know, it's also if you're looking to do a business in Shopify, I think recurring purchases, you know, it's something to take into consideration.
Our return rate, it's 38%, which I think is huge. And you know, we are actually,
you know, the other thing is that we need to have a customer service team, because there's the items are so
technical,
right. At the beginning we had the team in Philippines, because you know the it was very cheap. You know, it cost $9 an hour versus a person in the US that it would cost around 18 to 20,
right?
But I realized that there was more value after a year, you know, of complaints, and you know, it wouldn't allow me to focus my time on other areas, because the Philippines weren't doing the job correctly, and it's such a typical product, or they didn't have common sense with American customers. And you know, I think even if it costs a little bit more. You know, just taking
the customer service person can kind of become a salesperson, right? Like, if they're helping the person figure out, especially with CPAP, is this going to fit my machine? Is this size right? And all these issues, the person that can do a good job with customer service becomes a great salesperson, versus somebody who doesn't understand the technicalities and is just following SOPs or whatever. You know,
they don't have, well, I don't want to generalize, but
my experience was that the people that I work with don't have much common sense, you know, when talking with American customers. And, you know,
having a customer service in-house that can work with sales, that can answer the phone and gorgeous chat, that also in the meantime can help us with doing videos. And, you know, we actually have like a video in our office that we do that have like a YouTube channel, so they can focus on that as well. Customers come to our office as well. They stop by so they can help.
And, you know, in the end, it was a little bit more expensive, but in the end,
it was more profitable because the sales increased. And right. You know, we would have happy customers, and I didn't have to be working on customer service, and I could focus on other areas to be the company. And I think, you know, having good people, it's really an asset. I think like employees are assets in companies, and you really want to try to have, you know, good relationship with them, understand them on a personal level. You know, everyone has their struggles, so everyone has like their personal life. And I think we're living like different lives than, you know, back 10, 20 years ago of corporate America. And, you know, I think it's great. You know, I always like to work with them, you know, on a hybrid model that could work for them, or, you know, if they have like a struggle or something, you know, I'm always happy to reach out, because I know if I do, they're gonna put it back into the business. And not only that, but it's also the right thing to do, you know.
Right. You mentioned the fact that you have you have a customer service phone number, which is good. Probably some of your competitors don't. Now, you have that on your website. How do you deal with that on Amazon, where you have some kind of technical sort of product? Do people from Amazon go find your brand off Amazon and reach out for customer service? Or how do you solve that challenge when technicality is important, but it's not as easy to pick up the phone and call the brand?
That's a good question. You know, there are certain tools that they have offered us, you know, to check that, you know, certain tools that you can respond to customers in Amazon. We haven't personally looked at that, and I would love to hear your feedback.
The items that we sell at Snuggle, they're more like accessories. They're not that technical. So pretty much like distilled water,
right?
You know, covers for the cushions, tubings, filters. So it's not like a SIPA machine, that it's very technical. So we haven't luckily had any issues with customer service.
They could always, you know, come to our website on snuggle.com.
Right.
Just, you know, hit the chat or email us, and, you know, we'll be happy to respond.
Right. That makes sense. I think I've seen a product that somebody had on Amazon where you click to get more technical information and actually can take you to a domain for a live chat. I think there's a company that developed that, and they do the live chat, like as long as the live chat is on their domain, you could do that. There's one company, the name slips my mind right now.
There's one that was called, if I can remember correctly, it was called Seller Locker. I think they were.
Yeah, that company developed it. Yes. I don't remember the name of the tool, but yes, the founders of that company.
Yeah.
Developed that tool, and I guess the domain is like all the chat sits on their domain that's approved by Amazon, and there is some of that you could do on Amazon, I know, at least through them, like you said.
Leron, I want to ask, like, what do you think are the best opportunities to take advantage of
your brand in Amazon with all these new features that, you know, Amazon pull up, like virtual bundles, you know, A plus premium, there's experiments as well. Like, what are the few things that sellers can do, including me, to, you know, improve the brand on Amazon? Because I feel like the game has been changing.
Yeah.
and brands have to be prepared to good opportunity to to surpass the competition out there.
I think Amazon's going to open up more and more ways for you to communicate directly with the customer. I think focusing on sending a lot of traffic to your storefront to build up followers using posts. I think Amazon's going to open up posts eventually to allow reels, kind of TikToks too. I just made a post yesterday on LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter about how influencers now, there's actually, if you're a shopper on Amazon, open up your Amazon app. If you have a little light bulb on the bottom there, Amazon opened up to certain customers. Now I have it where you can start to see these like reels from influencers. It's worthwhile to reach out perhaps to some of those influencers, these Amazon influencers, to start creating those kind of videos for you. I think Amazon will allow brands to do that too. So I think leveraging user-generated content is really good. There's sites that allow you to do that. One of those, friend of mine, Ian Sells, has a site called Join Brands. You might be aware of. And you can now work with influencers to get UGC relatively very, very cheap. I think you want to have that all over Amazon where you can in your sponsor brand videos. You can have a customer testimonial page on your storefront and just send traffic to the customer, even from ads, from sponsor brand ads or video ads, where you can send traffic to the storefront. Send it to the, you can send it to a, or build a page for customer testimonials and have it prominent on your storefront, and have user-generated content. Sponsored display video is coming. There's also a new ad type, I think that's in beta, that allows you to give rewards to customers who actually interact with the ad. Okay. So for example, receive $1 off when you like basically click an ad only, which I think is interesting. As far as the opportunities, I think building up followers and sending out more email through the customer engagement so that you can open up tailored audiences, which is something new. Tailored audiences allow you to email recent purchasers, high spend customers, repeat purchasers. Right now it's still, I think, relatively small for people, but I think, I think Amazon needs to give consumers more reason to follow a brand. And, who knows, maybe there'll be sponsored posts to follow the brand. So I think that's a trend to take advantage of. Definitely the customer experiments tool has gotten better. Yeah. To do A/B testing, you have to just get better and better now. So like main image, A+, premium A+, testing those things, I think are really important. People are not doing enough, A/B testing.
How can someone get A+ premium?
So to get A+ premium, you have to have a brand story on all your A+ content. Now you can have the same one, so it's not that difficult. And I believe you've had to have submitted at least 15 A+ modules over the previous 12 months, 15 A+, in order to get access to premium. So you need to have kind of more SKUs in order to get it, but it's a great opportunity because you can have video and you can just have more interactive. You can have an FAQ. You can just have more interactive content, and it's free, and it's a great advantage. It used to be only available for Launchpad or vendors who paid a big fee to get access to it. So having video, I think, in A+ is another big advantage.
Yeah, I cannot imagine the upsell that would do for the products. Currently, we have A+ content regular. And there's a feature in Amazon that it says that it pretty much gives recommendations on how to increase sales. And a lot of the recommendations are just to add a comparison chart, your different products. And it's incredible how by just adding the comparison chart, you would see a lift on sales. So if you are able to get this A+ premium and add videos and all these new features, I cannot imagine, the upsell that it would have for
yeah. Yeah, you can have a nice, potentially a nice brand video there, right? Featuring more of the products in the brand. Also, I wouldn't leave out sort of like the main listing images where you could, you know, sort of cross sell other products, or, you know, buy this product and this product, use coupon code, you know, whatever, save 10%, right? Especially when it's related or you have a complimentary product that you can offer. I remember seeing a presentation on Thrasio, and Thrasio would have a complimentary product. And I think they sold, I'm trying to remember what the product was, but they basically, they sold salt for a salt and like a Himalayan salt. And then they did a cross-selling on the salt for the salt when they sold the salt grinder. So they sold the salt grinder, and then they would have, you know, search for, you know, whatever the brand was, Himalayan salt, save 10%, use this code. So they were driving people to do a search, find, buy with a keyword that would show up on page one for that product, and then give a coupon code for it on the complimentary product. So you can cross sell too through the main images. So just, I'll repeat the example again. You're selling a salt grinder, mm-hmm. and you also sell the actual salt for the salt grinder, right? And the Himalayan salt. And in the images, they would have something that said, you know, search on the grinder. They would have an image that said, sell, search for, you know, X brand, you know, Himalayan sea salt. And they would drive like search, find, buy purchases, and they gave a coupon code for it. So there's a lot of ways you can cross sell, including through storefront, driving traffic there. I think you should put up posts, you know, every single day, at least one post every single day. It's free. It's free to do. You just need the graphic design work. We do that graphic design work, but obviously if you have internal graphic design or another source, it's something that, you know, you should do. And there's a lot you could take advantage of. It takes work and effort and team, right? A/B testing. I think main image, title, are things that are easier than A/B testing, A+, let's say, and yeah. are really, really important.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. And another very important thing when doing private label, you know, actually as an owner or as a seller, just reading your reviews, mm-hmm. And you know, making sure what's going on. You know, we actually have like a weekly KPI that we do every week where we see the FBA inventory that we have. It's just like a basic Excel spreadsheet. We have the FBA inventory, the inventory that we have in our warehouse, the sales of the last 7 days, sales of the last 30 days. Then we have the amount of reviews and the ratings. Then we have how many weeks of inventory we have in Amazon. And we always try to have around, like the sweet spot is 4 to 6 weeks worth of inventory that I've seen throughout my Amazon selling career. I think 4 to 6 weeks is like the selling spot because it's the most optical, right? You don't want to have 10 weeks worth of inventory because then you have storage limits and you're paying a lot of like storage fees. Right. In 2 weeks, maybe the price really jumps high and you start selling more, and then you run out of stock and then
right.
back to zero. So I think having 4 to 6 weeks, it's optimal. But what I was saying before is that we also have the ratings review in every product that is below 4.5. We actually take the time to, you know, read the reviews and see what's going on, what are the 1-star reviews, 2-star reviews, because we're talking directly to the manufacturer. That's what my partner Maxim does. And, you know, we review the reviews together, and then he contacts the manufacturers and, you know, go feedback to the next batch, you know, we improve them. And that way, you know, we don't have those same reviews coming.
Right. Yeah, it's really great insight. And now, you know, with the product opportunity explorer in the back end, you can also see customer insights on the niche in general. that are kind of collected for you there. So if you're, you know, it's another good tip to use the Product Opportunity Explorer in your niche or other niches that you want to go into, and you can see what the customer insights are for positive and negative reviews. It's also one of the ways that we write the headline copy, you know, around sponsored brand ads and keywords, is tying what people like about the product as well as some keywords and tie that into, you know, headline copy. But I think it's great that you are reading, you know, every single review and that you're seeing that on a regular basis. It'll be interesting to see how things evolve. You know, if you notice in the last week or so, Amazon is showing the actual rating 4.4, 4.3, 4.2. And people who have like 3.8, for example, and were showing 4 stars before, have now seen a big dip because their, you know, product, Amazon's showing now 3.8 in the search results. And then somebody who had maybe 4.2 and was showing only 4 stars versus 4.5 is actually seeing better results because 4.2 is not that different than 4.3. I saw Brandon Young had a post about this in his own products and saw the changes. So I think you'll continue to see Amazon testing how reviews and ratings are displayed, because at some point nobody will be able to come in and compete when, you know, everybody has, you know, 100,000 reviews on page one. So I think it'll evolve in terms of how Amazon shows the amount of reviews and the ratings. But I think, like you said, the game has changed. You need to up your game on creative, on video, take advantage of all the levers, A/B testing, customer engagement, focus on improving products, like, you know, like you're doing. And one of the things I know I recently connected you with is Buy with Prime. You know, you've implemented it now on your site, but Amazon now gives you the opportunity, and it's something we can help you connect with and get set up. Amazon gives you the opportunity to now have people check out on your website with Prime, get 1 to 2 day shipping, handle the returns through Prime, and increase your conversion rates. And a lot more is coming there. I met with the number one top person on that team this week. And, you know, there'll be a lot more advertising opportunities to leverage Amazon traffic to Buy with Prime. For example, now already you can run display ads with Amazon data. So let's say targeting people who viewed competitors, drive those display ads off Amazon to your D2C site. That's something we have the capability to do. And actually Amazon has a program now where they're where we can help you get matching funds from Amazon. So let's say you decide to invest, you know, 10 grand in ads. Amazon will also put up 10 grand to match, because they're trying to incentivize people to implement this. And I think you'll see more placements even on Amazon for Buy with Prime and D2C traffic.
Yeah, it's a great tool. I had the meeting, thanks to you, with Amazon, and you know, very smart people. We were able to get the Buy with Prime, you know, throughout the same day in the same meeting, which, you know, lasted an hour. Very easy setup, and we've seen a lift in sales after we added them.
Wow.
So great tool. You know, obviously, you know, customers nowadays, they're with, you know, Amazon, they're expecting, you know, 1 to 2 days worth of shipping. And it also, if you were doing the shipping in your in-house, this is going to help you have more time, right? Because you don't have to fulfill the orders yourself. So definitely a great tool.
Awesome. Excellent. I think it's awesome that you, you know, wanted to come on and, you know, on the podcast and share. You know, I get a lot of people asking me, like, you know, service providers, et cetera, they want to come on and they want to promote, but you just really, you know, seller, right, who wanted to come on and share with others, which I think is really awesome, you know, wanting to just come on and help other sellers out there in the, you know, in the journey.
Yeah, it's definitely not an easy game. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of competition in e-commerce. It's not, it's you know, it's not easy. You need to do it correctly, and you need to do it organized, you know, and you need to do KPIs. I think it's key. And it's key also to meet with your accountant on a monthly basis and, you know, make sure that you have your QuickBooks, you know, set up correctly and, you know, go over and find really what is your gross margin and your
net profit after all your expenses. And if I can have one last quick tip is that, you know, I think to increase the overall net profit, right? And this is some of the things that you can only do when you have a brand that you cannot do when you do wholesale.
Right.
You know, you have three levels, how we see it. You have the sales level, right? So sorry, the sales pretty much, you have the direct cost level, and then you have the general cost. So in the sales level, you know, things that you can do easily to increase profitability is just, you know, if you see products that are selling well, you can just, you know, increase the price by 10%. You
don't have
a huge increase, 50%, 60%, you can just increase it 10%.
Right.
You know, continue developing and see how sales go.
And improve your conversions, right?
Right, right. So that's what I'm saying. If you have, you know, a product that it's already converting well, then you can increase profit, you can increase the price by 10%. And that's something that, you know, at the end is going to help with your profitability overall. And the other thing is increase volume, right? If you increase volume, you sell more, you develop more products, but it selling volume affects in your direct cost and on your general cost, because
right.
your cost of goods sold, and you're gonna have more labor. But increasing the price, you don't affect those sort of two.
Right.
So that's huge.
But if you sell more, and I mean, another side to selling more volume is that you potentially can negotiate better cost of goods, right? If you are ordering more inventory too, right? Right.
Which was my second point, right? The direct cost level,
right.
Selling more, and you have, you know, it's really important to keep relationship with vendors, you know, sending them like a holiday gift card or something, making sure that you're there, because in the end, like a 10%
drop on cost of goods sold, it can be a huge impact on your net profit at the end of the month, right? So
yeah, and it's really important to focus on, you know, on these things now. You know, I think people have had you know, in some sense the last year or so, lower margin just because of the market, and focusing on optimizing your business, right, is really, really, really important to get some of that margin, to get some of that margin back. And important, you know, we touched on it a little bit, to have the right people on the team. If the numbers are not your strength, you better make sure you have a good person on the team that can, you know, show you the numbers every single week, show you all the data so that you can make good decisions, right? You may be a great product developer, for example, but not a great numbers person. You may be a creative. So really important to have the right people on your team. Do you use any sort of system? We implemented EOS in our business. Do you use anything, any systems to kind of run the business, or?
We actually love Asana. And it's great. You know, we put all of our projects there. We fill up the calendar, especially for email marketing. We want to make sure to have the calendar ready at least like a week before, you know, so the marketing director and the marketing analyst can, you know, start working on the email marketing emails. And I think as for us, Asana has been great. We use it for both companies, and the employees really, really like it.
Excellent. Great. Well, really appreciate you coming on, Aaron. I'm sure people can, I'll put your name and maybe your LinkedIn. People can find you on social media, and really appreciate you coming on the podcast and sharing these tips on all the success in, you know, two businesses that are doing, you know, eight figures in business. Pretty amazing between Amazon and Shopify. So thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me. And before we go, to the people out there, what
Liran, what are your two top books that you recommend for entrepreneurs out there?
Two top books that I recommend for entrepreneurs. One of the first books that got me, you know, on mindset was obviously Think and Grow Rich. But then another book that I read a couple of years ago that was pretty impactful, I think it was called The Slight Edge, is kind of the name for it, which is basically taking like incremental steps, into that kind of like a Tiny Habits type of book or Atomic Habits, right? Where it's these small habits that kind of lead to, bigger results. I'm reading a book right now. I'll find the name. I'll put it in the show notes. It's kind of like on making, spirituality and making money and how they align. So I'm very much into that. I've been studying Kabbalah for the last few years, with David Guillaume, especially, and definitely recommend that. I think that's been very helpful. Going to Tony Robbins 2019, I went to UPW and Date with Destiny, and I thought that was very impactful too. Well, what about you? What are your top two books?
I think my top two books would be The E-Myth.
E-Myth, yep.
Yeah, I loved, and it's really helped the business. Focusing on SOPs, you know,
it's key. And, you know, delegating tasks and not having all the hats of the business, because it's going to be very hard to grow. And in the end, you're just going to burn out yourself. So, you know, just taking the time to develop SOPs, train your employees, do monthly training courses, making sure that your employees are innovating and are happy. I think that,
the E-Myth, it's a great book.
And another one that I'm reading right now that I'm actually loving, it's Start Naked Numbers.
Okay.
Very good, very good. It talks a lot about, you know, profitability on the business, you know, what tools to do, which is a little bit about what we discussed today. But yeah, check it out. And we've got great books to have on your tool set.
Cool. I will put those in the show notes as well. Thank you so much, Aaron, for coming on. And I think you shared a lot of great insights. So really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.